The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away, leave this area, because Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, that I perform healings. Today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I accomplish my purpose. Yet I must continue on my way, today, tomorrow, and the following day. For it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearn to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned. But I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. We hear from St. Paul, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" My brothers and sisters, do you believe that God is for you? It's a truth of the faith. St. Paul says, "If God is for us, and he is for us." Why do so many Christians doubt that? Would you ever, as faithful Catholics, would you ever give the slightest thought to, you know, maybe Mary wasn't actually immaculately conceived? You know, maybe the church got that wrong. Or maybe the sacrament of confession doesn't really forgive sins, it's a falsehood. Or the Eucharist doesn't really become Jesus. No, absolutely not. You go, that's ridiculous. You know, that's a dogma of our faith. Here's the reality. So are the truths that God is infinitely perfect. That God is perfectly good. That God could never allow anything except out of love for us. That anything he permits in our lives can only be for our good. To believe anything else is to fall into heresy. It's a lie. And my brothers and sisters, I hear Christians say all the time, they say, "You know what, when I get before God, he's going to have a lot of explaining to do." What does that mean? They've bought a lie. That God might be allowing something in their lives that isn't for their good, that he might not really be good. And it's interesting, you know, when he attacked Adam and Eve, what did he do? That's how he got to, that's how the evil one tempted them. Is God really who he says that he is? They're the most fundamental truths of our faith. Every evil comes from the fall of Adam and Eve believing that God isn't really perfectly good. And so how does Satan tempt us? He's not going to tempt you by trying to get you to deny the dogmas of our faith. He knows he can't do that. But he thinks he can get you to question, gosh, could he actually, does he really love me totally? Might he be allowing something that isn't just, that isn't fair, that's not really going to be for my good? And that's how he's going to try to tear us down and tear us apart. He is a perfect father. I look out at you dads, and a number of you I know well, and I know how much you love your kids. If you combine the love in the heart of every father for all time, it wouldn't even be a tiny speck in comparison to the love that God the Father has for every single one of us individually. And I know the pride that all of you dads have in your children. It's so beautiful. We are the delight of our Father's heart. Every hair on our head is counted. St. Paul says, "He did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. How will he not also give us everything else along with him?" Let us ask our Lord for the grace to never doubt His Father's love for us.